It's an easy time of year to think about being thankful because it's at the forefront of everything that we do right now. It's on TV, it's spoken a lot. So this idea of being thankful is always in the front of our minds right now. Maybe we should work on doing these types of messages in the middle of the year when it's not so prevalent. But this idea of thankfulness is something that's really important in the Word of God. Thankfulness, thanks, all the derivatives of the word thanks are mentioned over 100 times in the Word of God. So it's a pretty important thought that prevails in the Word. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, over the last few years, we've worked on having one word that we pick to work on through the year. This year, I'm definitely going to pick either thankfulness or happiness. But either way, this verse, this passage is going to be my verse for 2018. And in 1 Thessalonians, it says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ." Rejoice always and pray continually. Rejoice always at this time of year seems to be a pretty easy thing. We talked about how it's always at the forefront of our minds. But this time of year can also be a really difficult time of year to be thankful. Sometimes some of us are dealing with the loss of a loved one. We're dealing with the loss of a relationship. Something's happened in our lives that makes being thankful a little bit difficult. Maybe you're struggling with some financial difficulties because we all know that when the financial difficulties are there, that can suck the joy out of everything. So this is a time of year where not only is thankfulness at the forefront of our minds, but because it's so prevalent, it can make being thankful really difficult. So what we're going to do today is kind of talk about what a thankful heart looks like so that we can work on being really intentional on our thankfulness. So when my son was growing up, one of his very favorite shows was VeggieTales. And I will admit to you that I am also a VeggieTales junkie. That Larry is a cut-up, and I love him. But I love these not only because they're entertaining. I can remember coming home from work after a long day and come home, and Cameron's watching a VeggieTales, and he's jumping up and down on the couch, singing along. And, you know, so there were some bad habits that VeggieTales taught because Junior jumped on his bed all the time. So, but these were really good lessons that could be learned, not just by the kids, but by adults as well. I loved how a lot of times their lyrics and their message, if you really look at it, like there's songs where it talks about HMOs and stuff. There's no kid going to get that. That's aimed at the adults. But there's some really great lessons that can be learned from these cartoons. One of those particular songs or messages came out of an episode called Madam Blueberry. I don't know how many of you are familiar with VeggieTales, but Madam Blueberry is right there next to Larry in the sousaphone. And Madam Blueberry in this episode had an obsession with stuff. She felt like stuff would make her happy. And she didn't understand how someone who didn't have stuff could be happy. And in this one particular episode, there was a song that was sung as Miss Madam Blueberry is bounding down the road, hopping because she has no legs. And she passes this particular family who's celebrating their daughter's birthday. And the song that was sung is called the Thankfulness Song. And through the miracle of modern technology, we're going to get to share that song with you this morning. So if we would play that for us real quick.
I thank God for this day, for the sun in the sky, for my mom and my dad, for my piece of apple pie, for our home on the ground, for his love that's all around. That's why I say thanks every day, because a thankful heart is a happy heart. I'm glad for what I have, that's an easy way to start, for the love that he shares, 'cause he listens to my prayers. That's why I say thanks.
bet you guys didn't know you're going to kids' church today. The words, because a thankful heart is a happy heart, have been words that have really been tugging at my heart here of late. And I will forewarn you as I get into this section, I have really bad allergies that sometimes overcome me. So if I get a little choked up, it's purely allergies, and bear with me. But I've been struggling with this idea that a thankful heart is a happy heart as I've gone through some struggles of my own. It's been kind of a dark time for me, just trying to figure out what I want to be when I grow up, kind of thing. I'm having some struggles with the boss at work, and then with the ordination and everything going on there, you know, the tear between, am I supposed to be bivocational? Am I supposed to go into full-time ministry? My wife, during our counseling sessions, brought up that I'm getting ready to turn 40 in March, so maybe this all plays into it a little bit, which, by the way, her counseling sessions just add to the whole reason why being married to that woman is winning in my book. So, but having that partner to go through all of this stuff has been a big help, but it's been a dark time. And when you struggle with things like this, you kind of want to cling back to things that are comfortable, right? Some of you are still learning me a little bit, and for those of you that don't know me, I tend to be a little bit on the conservative side of things. I have conservative leanings politically, personally, all this stuff. I kind of tend to go towards that when I get in a dark mood like this. I kind of get into that, you crazy kids, get off my lawn. Kind of like Clint Eastwood in Gran Torino there. And so because of that, I really try to dwell on things other than that change my mind frame. As I said, when we get into these times where we're struggling, we want to fall back into what's comfortable. I dwell on things that make me upset. Because then if there's something that's upset me, I have a reason and an excuse for why I'm in such a bad mood, right? So as I struggle with this idea of being in a bad mood, did you guys ever get in that point where you really kind of get on your own nerves? Like, man, I wish I'd just get over this. Why am I struggling with this so much? So ever since I got ordained in October, the guys at work know that I got ordained, and my nickname has now been changed to Rev. They would call me Rev Run, but clearly I don't run, so it's just Rev. So because I have this new nickname of Rev, clearly these guys are watching me. So when I'm in a bad mood and I'm in a bad place and I'm not responding to situations like I probably should, I'm more cognizant of the fact that these guys are watching my every move to see how they should react, how a Christian would react in this situation. So it's really important for me to kind of figure this out and get it straight, not just for myself or for my family, but because of what we talked about. We're supposed to be disciples. We're supposed to be witnessing to people. Between Daniel and Roger, they were kind of stealing my thunder with everything they were talking about before we started. But we're supposed to be loving people and making them see Christ in us. So I really have been praying hard over these last few weeks to try to get this figured out. And as I have prayed about this, every time, this song has come into my mind. It just continuously repeats. Those words just are constantly popping up. A thankful heart is a happy heart. I'm glad for what I have, and that's an easy way to start. It's kind of like that saying, keep it simple, stupid. Why are you overcomplicating this, Shane? Thankful heart is a happy heart. I'm glad for what I have. That's an easy place to start. If I can just focus on those things, the rest of it will fall in line. It's a perfect example of what others are going to see in me. These words, a thankful heart is a happy heart. If I have a thankful heart, I'm going to be happy. And if the people around me see that happiness, they're going to want to know what it is that makes me so happy. I had a new boss that started back in February, and come May, June, he'd started to get to know me a little bit better, and he made that comment about, man, you're always so happy-go-lucky. You know, what is it about you that makes you so happy all the time? So it was an easy way to, you know, kind of witness, hey, well, you know, I'm a believer, and all this kind of stuff doesn't really matter, so I can shirk it off, and now I'm looking like a bit of a hypocrite, but I'm not doing so good at that part of it, which is, again, a reason why I want to get this right. So what do we do in our daily lives that shows others that we are thankful and happy? That there's something different about us that makes us stand out in a positive way and makes people want what we want? I think it's the same thing. I have the same problem that maybe a lot of you in this room do. What we're focusing on tends to guide our actions. So what has really come to the forefront of my mind, I heard somebody say this the other day, and it was like a light bulb went off. But given the way things are going in this day and age, it's so easy to just want to stand for what we're against, right? There's so many crazy things going on in life right now. And it doesn't matter if you're conservative or liberal. There's plenty to go around for everybody to be upset about right now, right? So everybody wants to know and wants everybody to know on social media what they stand against. But how many of us are standing up for what we are for? So one of the big things I've really been focusing on is this: to become people that are known more for what they stand for than what they stand against. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. So when you think of someone that's happy, what is it that you think's going on in their life that makes them happy? There's a lot of different answers to that. For the last 16 years for me, one of the things was the Colts, but we won't get into that because that's a whole thing. There's lots of different things that can make us happy, right? But one of the common denominators is love. If you are loved, it's easy to be happy. Easier to be happy. When we are experiencing the love of a spouse, of a parent, of a child, of a sibling, of nieces or nephews, if you've got that love present in your life, being happy just kind of exudes from you. We always make fun of young folks for that puppy dog look they get in their eyes, right? That first love, they just, and they're just giddy and floating on air. But that idea that love is behind what makes us happy is a key component, because we're actually, as Christians, commanded, not a suggestion, commanded to love. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 and 30 through 39, Jesus tells us, love your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So this is what it comes down to me. I've decided to be somebody who wants to be known more for what I stand for rather than what I stand against. So I have determined that what I stand for is love. I need to love those that I come in contact with and make sure that they know that they're loved. And I'm not talking like the creepy, hey, I just met you, come give me a big old hug kind of thing. but a willingness to listen. And more importantly, a willingness to truly hear what they're going through. Sometimes there's nothing more healing, nothing more endearing to someone than knowing that you have heard what they said and that you feel for them. I talked once before when I was doing a scripture reading, you guys will get to learn that the idea of molding our words so that they make a difference and not a point is a huge thing for me. Going through ordination, we were talking about whether I was going to be going towards the path of lead pastor or worship pastor or all that stuff. And I said, well, you know, I really don't feel like I could be a lead pastor because I'm just not creative enough to come up with all these different worship series, because everything I talk about tends to come back to this idea of making a difference, not a point. And they said, you know what? That's not a hindrance. It's important to me. And I think it's important to me because it's probably the thing I need to work on the most. Because I have that, you crazy kids, get off my lawn tendency. I was really, really guilty for a very long time of loving to make points. And I drove a lot of people away. So being intentional about this idea of having a thankful heart and a happy heart, what I stand for is love. Because if we're going to be disciple makers, we're going to be talking to some people who are in really messy circumstances. Life's dirty. But God calls us to be an advocate for those people. He doesn't want us to expect the people that we come in contact with, okay, we will love you and we will welcome you in, but first you've got to do this, 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 and this. God expects us to be people who are willing to get down in the dirt with them. Get down where they are and help pick them up out of the circumstances that they're in. Help bring them into a relationship with Christ. It's dirty work, folks. And if we waited for people to get their acts together before they came through those doors, we'd have a pretty empty place. So, how better could we have an expression of thankfulness to our Father for the gift that He gave us, other than to love someone into a relationship with Him? And the way that we're going to do that is by having a happy heart, expressing our thankfulness through a happy heart, and letting those people around us understand there is something different about us. You want what I've got, and I'm going to love you into it. Because a thankful heart is a happy heart. Let's be glad for what we have, because it's an easy place to start. Rejoice always, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Would you pray with me? Lord, we are so thankful for the gift that you've given us of your Son. And God, sometimes we are very weak vessels to carry that love around to the world. But Father, we're so thankful for the gift of grace. We're so thankful for the fact that you don't expect us to be perfect vessels, that you don't expect us to have it all together, that you love us just like we are, and that being the imperfect people that we are, the imperfect vessels, Lord, you have a way that we can be used. You made us uniquely yours. So, Father, I just pray that as we move through this season of Thanksgiving and into the season celebrating the greatest gift that you could have given us, your Son. Father, I just pray that we be a people that are truly thankful, not just in word, but also in deed. That we are a people who love those around us, despite the circumstances that they're in. And that we be a people who love those around us into a relationship with you. Because a thankful heart is a happy heart, Lord. And we are so thankful. It's in your name we pray. Amen.